You're listening to Redemption Cast, Season 2, Episode 8, The Shroud of Ramon. Posing as a hip Vegas vampire, Angel infiltrates a gang of thieves bent on stealing a supernatural shroud housed in a museum vault.
Angel's a vampire who has a soul and he's glad to see. He fights the darkness with Wesley Gunn and that babe Cordelia. He spends a century in hell with the two of his Nancy boy Hitchell. He just moved into a sweet hotel, yeah.
Sometimes I just close my eyes and pretend I'm like sitting a lonely table in Caritas, and Allie's up on stage. I'm Robin.
Hi, everyone. I'm Illyrio.
I'm Stephanie.
I think it's my turn now. I'm Kelly.
This is Gabby.
Illyrio wants to get out of here.
I can't imagine why. Best episode ever.
Right. Okay. Why are y'all insinuating that this is a bad episode?
I know.
Okay.
What do you mean insinuating? We watched it. It was terrible.
I have a couple of points right off the bat.
Okay.
All right. First point, Kate didn't die. Okay.
That's just a fact.
We were teased. And then horribly disappointed. Mm-hmm. Point number two, Kate not dying meant Angel didn't go bad.
I know.
But again, another big point of disappointment. Point number three, Wesley in the interrogation room was probably some of the lamest and by far some of the least convincing acting that Alexis Denisov has ever pulled off, and I'm including his first few episodes on Buffy.
Well, he was under the power of the shroud, right?
Oh, and point number four, what the fuck, Cordelia's hair.
Thank you.
She
got Aniston'd.
She did.
It was worse. She looked like a groupie from a Kiss tour.
But the thing is, even at the time, people would have said, that's disgusting hair. Like, yep. For the era. Because it looked. Anyways.
Also, it's soccer mom hair.
It was very teased.
I thought it really aged her. Like Courtney Cox.
Yes. Ugh, it did. So she cut her hair when she tried to do the Aniston.
Okay.
But anyways.
I had something for that.
I'm going to actually stick up for someone in this episode. And her name is Kate.
Oh! Wow.
Fired. It's not her fault she has to say these stupid lines that were given to her. So let's start off there. Mm-hmm. Someone has to be against... how do I put this? I think in every series there has to be someone that doesn't immediately jump onto the Angel's my friend bandwagon.
In every generation, there is a...
And I feel in this episode, she finally came around to, hey, Angel's a good guy. And I'm glad that it happened. That's the good thing I will say.
Hmm.
However, Kate being so against him for so long, she got everything she wanted. You know what I mean? I think she wanted Angel to bite her. I think she secretly is in love with him. And she got what she wanted.
I suppose.
Don't we all secretly want a vampire to bite us?
Nope.
I don't want to live just forever. Me?
I wouldn't mind David Boreanaz
biting me. Forever! Not Gabby. Not Gabby.
90s Robin.
It's So are we just discussing it now, or are we going through the episode? I'm so confused.
Whatever you want to do.
Let's just discuss.
Oh, okay. So all this I typed here is for nothing. Okay.
Oh!
I can roll with it.
What, you asked us to do it this way.
I'll take it next time, but it's fine.
All right.
So fun fact, the writer of this episode, his last ep was 5x5, and apparently he's got a he's got a fondness for that bus station set, I think. And the director, David Grossman, also directed I Will Remember You. He's also directed some Buffy too.
Who wrote this?
Jim Koff.
Was this last episode ever writing for Angel?
I think so. I'm not sure.
All right, then I'm going to stick watching the series then. I'm kidding.
A2, Kim?
kidding. I hate this episode. I just didn't love it. I thought it was just like middle of the row, like get us from one episode to the next, give us a break from all the amazing action that happened in the last episode.
Mm-hmm. That happens.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. This was one of my, I fell asleep while I was watching it the first time episodes. It's been a while since that happened. So I tried rewatching it again this morning and I made it through the whole thing without falling asleep. But it was obvious why I fell asleep, and it was torturous watching this for 42 minutes.
Wow.
It was.
I watched it over Easter weekend while I was at my mother-in-law's place.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all right. And then I may or may not have watched the next one.
Oh.
So, full disclosure, my opinion of this one may be influenced by the next one a little bit, slightly.
Oh, man. Illyrio.
So, you know, what are you going to do? Can I just say that
you want to jump
this episode
ahead to the
had a bunch
after next?
No, can't do it. A bunch of stuff in this episode was out of place.
Such as?
Cordelia's hair, yeah. The banter between, I mean, okay. Maybe it's just been a long time since I've watched Angel, but how long ago was the episode Guys Will Be Guys?
About 3 months ago.
because...
I don't know. It seems
how is Wesley getting premiere tickets, and then why does he have an extra one?
Sorry, what was that?
Why does Wesley have premiere tickets, like to his own, and why does he have an extra one?
Because he's dating What's-Her-Face.
He's dating the rich
Victoria Bryce.
Okay, I guess.
They just needed them to go somewhere where they can spill cocktail sauce on her.
I'm sure like Victoria invited him to this big event and he thought of his friend Cordy and was like, you know, maybe she'd be in a ticket for Cordy because she's going to be really super jealous.
Yeah. And then who changes behind the counter like that? Wouldn't you like, it's a hotel. I'm sure they have doors that close somewhere.
Well, then she could. Well, if she left the room, she wouldn't have been able to continue the conversation.
This is true.
And create that non-sexual tension between them.
So, yeah, she actually cut it 10 days ago. I can't imagine going 10 days without
noticing that hairdo.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's not like she changed her color, like, just slightly, or added highlights or something like that. It's gone. It's gone. It is all gone, and she looks like a completely different person. She now, again, she now looks like a Texas soccer mom.
Maybe she just got tired of wearing those heavy hair extensions, and she's like, I can't do it anymore. And they just,
my back hurts. it's bad enough my gigantic breasts give me lower back pain.
I think it's understandable that Angel didn't notice because he's been way like wrapped up in the Darla stuff. But I'm pretty disappointed in Wesley in not noticing.
So are we supposed to assume that Wesley's been so busy dating What's Her Butt that that's why he hasn't noticed?
That's what I'm thinking they're saying.
I agree.
I didn't pick that up while I was watching it. Thank you. Well, thank you for helping me talk it out.
Mm-hmm. So have we covered Cordy's hair completely?
Yeah, we did.
I think so.
Yeah. The only problem I had with this episode, why is Gunn so grouchy? It's just...
Maybe these writers think that all African Americans are just angry.
I just hate, like, he has this gigantic chip on his shoulder, and it's growing, and I just hate the way.
Well, yeah. I mean, you gotta take it before the influence of the Shroud starts happening. And before it starts happening, like, Angel is pretty much like pulling rank on him. He's now a part of the crew there, but I don't think he expected Angel to kind of like be bossing him around or acting like he needs to.
Gunn's used to being a free agent.
Yeah.
But so, okay, so now that Gunn's part of this crew, what's happening with his old crew? Because he was the leader there.
Well, maybe somebody took over.
Or not his cousin, let me tell you.
Or maybe we'll see the Lost Boys again, and they'll like all move into the hotel.
They got enough
room. Rufio, Rufio, Rufio.
I was listening to.
I was like,
Gabby, go ahead.
I was like, his cousin, like that whole thing was just, it drove me. Like the first time I didn't pay too much attention to it because I just didn't care. And then when I was watching it this morning, I'm like, did he just call him G? Like, I'm like, seriously? I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. It was like watching another Friday or something. Like, it was like, what was going on?
Yeah, I was listening to the Televerse podcast. They do like almost every week they do a DVD shelf, and they were talking about Angel, and they were talking about how in the beginning Gunn is very broadly written.
Oh, good. It's better? Please.
And then, and they were saying, yeah, that Wesley was broadly written in the beginning, you know, when he was started off in Buffy. So
I thought that was a great point they made. Like, it seems like every character is like broadly written, and they fine tune them, and they fine tune them. We're still in broadly written Gunn territory here, whereas Wesley is not like Mr. Bumbling, broadly written English dork. He's getting a little bit more. They're fine tuning his character.
Very
true. And I guess it's just a process, and unfortunately, we have to go through the annoyance of them. Understanding their characters as they're writing them.
Like, the only thing that would have made that whole thing worse is if, like, they started it out where they were greeting each other and he said something like, yo, 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 what's up, homie, or something. Yeah. Like, that would have been...
Oh, dude, I would die for a good what's up.
But yeah, I don't know if it's the like they said, the lack of diversity on the writing staff, or if it's just J. August Richards. But because Kate was saying that, not Kate on the Televerse was saying that in another show that J. August Richards was in, he played a lawyer and he was wearing a suit, and she said it was like, yeah, it was like he was more comfortable. And I think that J. August Richards is like a suburban. You know, a suburban guy. I don't think he's very street.
Yeah, well, also, you know, this is also after 5 years of Angel, and then probably another couple of years before. I mean, he could have also matured as an actor, too. So,
yeah.
I don't know. And maybe he could pull it off better now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
If I put on a hoodie that said Brooklyn on it, I'd go all street. I mean, because, you know. That's what all gangbangers wear.
Mm-hmm. Gunn's got a lot of hoodies. He does have a lot of hoodies.
All about the hoodies.
Hoodies are awesome. All right, back on track. So was anyone fooled about who was hiding their head in the police station?
I didn't know it was Wesley, but I didn't know who it was.
I forgot whether it was Angel or Wesley.
I thought it might be Angel for a second, and then I was like, ah, Wesley. And then I was like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, we, like, started at the end.
Yes.
Oh, that's why in my notes I wrote, it's nonlinear, not Tillmanier. Because Tillmanier is the nonlinear writer.
That's funny. Yeah, it was all right. I mean, it just felt disjointed more than anything. Yeah. I don't know why. I mean, did they have Wesley there so that we wouldn't be sure if Angel was dead? Because the big secret they were keeping from us is that Kate didn't die. So what does it matter if it's Angel there or if it's Wesley? Also, how can Wesley tell the parts of the story he wasn't a part of? I always hate that when they do that. They have someone narrating the thing. He starts talking about the stuff he's involved in, and then this whole part of the story happens where he wasn't even around.
Yeah, I don't think it's meant to say that he's narrating this entire story. I think it's just going back and showing us what happened.
But come on.
I think Angel told him what happened.
All right, fine. Justified!
Well, but I think the point is, they tell us that there's a head that's detached from its body, and there's a body on the floor. And we're supposed to, you know, be filled with dread that something terrible happened. Oh, no. And then we go back and we see what happened. As it.
We see that flash of Angel dropping some blonde to the floor. So after feeding. So we're like, ooh, how did we get that point?
Yay, he killed Kate. Thank God. Now he's going to be evil again because he must have had a true moment of happiness killing Kate.
Maybe you just did.
Yeah, over and over again as I replayed that moment. No. But it would be nice for her to be gone.
Okay, did this reawaken Angel's bloodlust?
I hope so.
Tune in next time to find out.
Point.
I know, I can't wait to watch it. I don't know what y'all are talking about. Because I see that Dr. Moira Brown has watched it and she's so excited and I can't remember what happens.
Oh, wow. You can't remember?
No.
Oh, nice. Anyway, let's not talk about next time. Let's talk about this time.
Yeah.
Okay. Angel gets to act like somebody who's not brooding.
He acts like Andrew Dice Vampire. all I needed was, yeah, it was worse than painful.
I really enjoy when he gets to be anybody but Angel.
Yeah. I thought it was hilarious.
I think it's hilarious too.
Uh-huh.
I think he plays anything but brooding amazing.
Uh-huh.
Which is a shame because he's brooding 99% of the time.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
You know, but when he gets to, you know, sing a Barry Manilow song, and when he gets to be a guy from the Rat Pack, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
It takes you out for a second and you realize, oh, right, this is a TV show and he's an actor and he's awesome.
Acting.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I love it.
Well,
We don't need Debbie Downer here.
Master Thespian.
And you don't like it because
it was ridiculously over the top. So contrived. He'd go in and out of it, and then the idiots that he was working with totally bought it. And
hold I'm on. Like, really? Don't talk about Kern that way.
Doing this heist, but so we have bumbling idiot heist. Awesome.
Don't talk about Kern that way. Kern is awesome. I can't wait for the Star Trek: The Next Generation part of the discussion to begin.
And then like sometimes he seemed very Andrew Dice Clay, and then other times all I could think of was, I'm like, is he trying to be Rodney Dangerfield? It's more like watching Easy Money with him than it is like,
I don't know
like,
what you're talking about.
I don't know either.
Rodney Dangerfield? Kind of.
Yeah, Rodney Dangerfield.
No. I think you're off your rocker.
Yeah.
With all the gesticulating.
You need to go back to school.
Learn how to do a triple Lindy.
No one pull that off.
I just couldn't, everything about this episode was just pure shit to me.
Everything?
Everything. No, I take that back. There's one thing, but I'll discuss it when I give my points.
Hey, did you guys see that part when he dropped the Zippo and the Zippo went out in midair?
Oh, I didn't see it go out.
And then they cut and it's back on fire. And then it explodes, but then they go back and the bottle is still intact.
TV magic.
Whoa.
Yeah,
I missed it.
dropping stuff. If you dropped a vial of nitroglycerin on your shoe, wouldn't it still explode because it's hitting a, it's stopping quickly and hitting a hard surface?
Listen, if you're going down with it, I mean, obviously you haven't played hacky sack. If you're going down at the same speed it is, and then just kind of putting your foot under it, you can catch it.
Okay. First and foremost, the guy from Vermont who is talking about hacky sack is going to lecture us on the instability of nitroglycerin. Okay. Listen.
You ever been in a circle, man? I'm in my zone.
My circle was broken.
The circle was broken.
Now, I need to discuss this a little longer. These guys that pick him up,
whose guys
are hilarious. First of all, the guy that comes to pick up the Vegas Andrew Dice Clay vampire,
Menlo,
picks up Angel. What is him?
Menlo.
Menlo. Menlo looks like a Klingon.
He is played by... he was just on Bates Motel.
It doesn't matter
who he is. W. Earl Brown. He's been on everything.
It doesn't matter who he is.
It matters.
Because the other guy...
I took all these notes. I just kind of...
Vyasa.
Okay.
Vyasa. Is the guy who matters. Because Vyasa is being played by Tony Todd.
Yes.
And you may remember Tony Todd from an episode of Kate and Ally in 1989 called A Tree Grows on the West 56th Street. You may also remember him from an episode of Night Court in 1989 where he played, of course, Mr. Crumrine in the episode For Love or Money. Also, he was in Jake and the Fat Man as Jordan Lee between 1990 and 1991. But of course, we all love and remember him the most from Star Trek The Next Generation when he played Kern.
Sure.
He also played a grown-up Jake Sisko in one of the later episodes of Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And for you X-Files lovers, he is, of course, the man who played Augustus Cole in the episode Sleepless.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. Sleepless is an amazing episode.
He was also on Smallville.
Whatever that is about.
It was in the episode Jitters. You couldn't stop shaking.
So the guy that played Worf's younger brother, Kern, was in an episode of Angel, and I was super happy to see him.
I don't understand why you're skipping over his most important role and the one that affected me the most. It makes me run screaming out of my bathroom after looking in the mirror and turning off the lights. That would be the Candyman.
Yep.
Ooh. Oh,
and it's sequels, which I never saw any of them. But
Candyman, you were too scared?
Oh, my God. Candyman. I can't say it three more times or I'll get killed.
Candyman, Candyman, Candyman.
I've never seen it. You gotta look in a mirror.
Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary.
Because doesn't really hold up.
Well, didn't non-specific you guys ever do energy, that? Like, non-specific energy, when non-specific like, energy. When you did like Bloody Mary in school?
Yeah, what? when I was
like elementary school, people would be running to the bathroom screaming Bloody Mary and run out.
You don't tempt shit like that.
I know.
You said it. Movies. You tempt shit like that.
And shit happens.
The shroud is like the ring.
Pardon? Can you say that again? Yeah. Hey, T-Pain, welcome to the show.
Steph, you get all garbled. I'm sorry.
Why did I write "The Shroud is like the ring"?
The Shroud is like the ring?
The Shroud is like the ring.
I don't know.
Lila wasn't in it. There was no underground fighting. There were some demon-y people. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Was Angel in character when he went in the ring?
Oh, I know. It's like
mean the Precious?
Yes.
Where everybody wanted it. The Precious.
Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings.
Not the movie. The Rings.
What does this have to do with stealing fried chicken and running?
Is Robin being racist again?
The Precious.
No, I'm being precious.
Are we supposed to say a film by, or based on a novel by something?
Based on a novel by Push by Sapphire. Is that it?
By Sapphire?
Oh, worst title. It's really book club. Do we need to know the whole gist?
I don't know. So, Robin, what did you like about this episode?
All right. Well, for one thing, I did like the fact, I did like Angel going undercover. It's just, it's funny. It's
cool. I love it.
It's just like, I don't know, he puts that like wild green shirt on and puts the sunglasses on and everything. I love the way he like killed the original J-Don, who is probably, would probably be even worse to watch. But yeah, I just dug the whole how he basically went in to help steal this thing, you know, and catch the, you know, figure out where they're going to bring it to or whatever and catch whoever that is.
Robin, would you say that you dug the hip groovy vibe of it all?
No, I dug the fact that, you know, Angel, who has been like brooding and upset about things, is finally, you know, able to go out and do a case, and then ends up going into the worst place imaginable that we're basically he shouldn't be going, which is a place where he come under the influence and basically, I mean, we haven't seen this since what was that, Eternity? Where, you know, the actress drugs him, he pretty much starts acting like that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love when Angel gets all like crazy and starts talking really fast. I don't know.
I just like when Angel's not Angel. Anytime he's not Angel is awesome.
Yeah, I don't agree, but.
No, I don't mean like I just find it more. It is entertaining, and I'm more engaged when he's not being Angel. Even though I like the guy, but when he gets a chance to do something funny and outrageous,
yeah,
it's amazing.
I love Angel geeking out about Chow Yun-Fat.
That was pretty awesome.
I wish they had used a better reference. It just totally dates the show.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think, what other like martial artist could they have used? Like Jackie Chan, maybe?
Jackie Chan, Jet Li.
Jet Li.
What did you guys think of Cordy getting offended by the whole virgin sacrifice thing? Well, I thought, I don't want to see anybody's quote, but I thought that was an amazing line that she said.
I don't remember.
She's not wrong.
I don't know. It just.
You guys don't remember?
No. I remember. I just thought it was just kind of like strange. Like, where'd that chip come from? I don't know. Like, she was all, I don't know. It just seemed weird and out of place. And all of their interaction just seemed strange. The whole episode just seemed disjointed. It was all over the place to me. And then I just didn't understand why she just got so offended by like that. Because it's not like, you know, something like a soapbox she's been on before about stuff, I don't think.
Well, you gotta let a girl have girl power every once in a while.
It must be the new hair.
You guys can hit every once in a while, you know? Yeah. Girl power.
Yeah, this was the height of girl power.
It's the new hair.
It was the era of the Spice Girls and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, so tell me what you want, what you really, really want?
That, yeah. Maybe a few years passed.
And she lifts the shop lift. Or museum lift.
Go ahead, Steph.
I was just saying, maybe Cordelia is growing up. She got a big girl haircut, and she's becoming more aware of things, you know, just.
Yeah,
she, she's made other observations in the past.
Broadening her horizons. All right.
Kate.
Blech.
Did you put the echo verb on just for that?
No, that's someone's headphones bleeding.
I don't know if you guys heard the commentary, but I'm sure you will know the exact moment she appeared on the screen when hear my commentary. Which, no, because I was like, even when I was watching the episode, I felt really bad. I was like really shitting on her. It's like, yeah, what? Yeah. But then toward the end, even though she didn't die, I'm glad she finally came around to be like, okay, I'm going to step off my high horse and I'm going to finally realize that Angel's not a bad guy.
Well, I don't know. She definitely looks conflicted. Do you guys think that she's...
Yeah, but at least she's contemplating the fact that maybe this guy's not as bad as I thought he was. Because she's very prejudiced towards, I guess, all demons. And, you know, like, I think in the real world... I think in the real world, we'd all be more like Kate. But because it's a TV show and we know Angel before... We're all just like, hey, he's one of the good ones, you know? But yeah. I'm glad that she is starting to turn around. And, yeah.
I actually have pretty good hero dar. So.
Yeah, do you really?
Yeah. What do you guys think about Kate's desk? How she has not one but two pictures of her dad there.
Overkill.
She really, really misses her dad.
Come on, set designers. What the hell? We get it.
Really, really has daddy issues.
You need to have one picture to get it. Like, they look like they were taken on the same day, too. It's ridiculous.
Well, that was the best day ever.
Oh, that's funny.
I think we're going to start to come around on Kate. I just have a feeling.
Okay.
All right.
I think she's reached the point of where Juliet started to make the change in Lost. Lost spoiler, sorry, but guys, yeah, that's what I feel.
You're going to equate Kate to Juliet on Lost?
No, she has that kind of
turnaround potential?
I'm saying she's starting on that pathway.
Ugh, I hope she gets hit by a bus. Starting
her redemption.
Double reference!
Hello?
I kind of never really had too much of a problem with Juliet.
I never did either.
I hated her with a passion.
I knew her from... What was the movie? Gia?
I was going to say...
Oh, Gia. Oh.
The Santa Claus 2.
Was there a commentary on that one?
Wasn't it the Santa Claus or Santa Claus 2?
The Santa Claus 2 as well, yeah.
Yeah.
But Gia commentary, let's get on that.
Let's do it.
I'll record it by myself. Whatever.
Hey. Is it time for feedback yet, or do we have more to say?
I do have one other bit of trivia here.
Go for it.
It's related to the show as it was on this November 21st, 2000. Joss Whedon actually spoke out against 20th Century Fox, the studio behind Angel, and another show that premiered called Dark Angel. Not only are the names similar, the studio okayed Fox's decision to air Dark Angel Tuesday nights at 9 p.m., the same time the WB was airing Angel. Both shows suffered in ratings and because they had similar audiences. And Joss told TV Guide that it shows that 20th Century Fox doesn't really even care about either show. Their big picture is clearly so big that whatever I'm doing doesn't matter. I resent that. But I'm not the big picture guy. I'm just making my shows. And Subsequently, Dark Angel was canceled after 2 seasons, and Angel lasted 5. What?
Wow, I was watching Dark Angel.
What was Dark Angel about again?
I'm glad you wouldn't be a newbie.
I freaking loved that show. That show was fantastic.
Couldn't someone remind me?
Even with Jessica Alba?
Especially with Jessica Alba.
Yeah, I kind of like, that's the only role I really ever appreciated her in.
Tell me what this show was about.
Dark Angel?
Yes.
That was fantastic.
It's James Cameron show.
Tell me what it is about.
It's like post-apocalyptic bike messengers.
Yeah, basically. There was an electromagnetic pulse.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yes.
All right, let's move on. I have voicemail.
And then there were like child soldiers and everybody, and they had barcodes tattooed on the back of their neck.
Boo.
All right. And our boyfriend from Supernatural was in it. Dean's in it.
Okay, then I'll watch it.
Let's listen to this phone call. That's right, folks. We got a phone call.
What?
From Heidi. Phone call.
Play it.
Starred. This voicemail is for the Shroud of Ramon. I kind of have mixed feelings about this episode. Oh, by the way, this is Heidi. Sorry, guys. I have mixed feelings about this episode. I really like the storytelling element where Wesley is kind of filling us in on what was happening by being interrogated. I think it's hilarious the way we get introduced to Charisma Carpenter's haircut, that she's had it for 10 days and they didn't even notice. And how could they not notice that hair for 10 days? I kind of have a problem with the way that everybody just conveniently finds their way to the museum. You know, it's just too convenient. and of course we get Kate, which, you know, I know that all of you were hoping she was dead, but I think that the way that Cordy and Wes are affected by the Shroud is really fun. And, you know, Wesley gets kind of stupid and Cordy just becomes a klepto, you know. And so I like that. I don't like the bickering between Angel and Gunn. It really just, I don't know, it annoys me.
Yes.
But I'm glad that Angel wasn't completely crazy, and even though Kate's not dead, it is a nice reveal, you know, that he kind of knew what he was doing. The biggest problem that I have, though, is when Wesley says that Angel hasn't drank blood from a human in a very long time. Did we forget about Buffy a couple years ago?
Yeah,
you know,
hello.
When he, like, nearly drained her? I don't know. Just kind of a thing. Anyway, that's my thoughts on the episode. Can't wait to hear yours. Bye.
Bye!
Oh,
thanks, Heidi.
I was on Heidi's new podcast, Investigating Mars, for the pilot of Veronica Mars.
Oh, cool!
Yeah.
I demanded that podcast in the IntraCast group, and Heidi took me up on it. As soon as the Kickstarter happened, I was like, someone needs to do this now. And Heidi's like, okay. So I'd like to say I'm a little bit responsible.
Of course, Robin.
It's really
Can I just say that I hated this episode a lot more than I thought I did? Because Heidi brought up some really excellent points, and I couldn't be bothered to bring any of that up. I'm sorry, folks. I'm not on my game tonight. I thought I was ready. I thought I was prepared. I have some notes, and all I want to do is say I hated it.
That's okay. I know you're going to be coming back next time with a lot more.
Maybe, but here's the thing. Mm. Part of why I hated it, I think Heidi really hit the nail on the head for me, is the bickering between Gunn and Angel was annoying me.
And that was even before the Shroud.
And that was even before the Shroud.
Yeah, I don't know. I still feel like Gunn joining the team and just going from I mean, it's like you got to do some sort of, I guess maybe it wasn't that good of character work, but they have to do something. They can't just be like, oh, whatever, he's eating subs and hanging out in the hotel now. He's got no problems.
Yeah. But I think that would have been better than this.
I don't know. We might not have, I don't know.
No, because then when he acts, then another episode when he acts out, we'll be like, where did that come from?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean,
inconsistent, I'd say.
I mean, is it because they're both leaders of their respective groups and it's hard for Gunn to follow?
Of course. Of course. That's what we would automatically go to. It's just that.
But it.
I think it's started out as that, but the Shroud brought out what was underneath. Mm-hmm. And that's right. What. That's why I'm not as bothered by it.
He's still resentful about. Gunn is kind of like the Xander character. You know, Xander for the longest was resentful towards Angel because of Jesse, and Gunn is still resentful because of his sister.
But if Xander can do that and we still like him, there's still a disconnect between Gunn and the audience.
Or the writers of the audience.
Exactly, the writers of the audience.
I don't know, the whole thing just seems like, my problem with stupid Kate is that I think she's useless. I'm not there. I just think she's completely useless. I see no reason for her to even exist in this world. And as for Gunn, I like him. But the way he's written, we've all talked about a million times, is just absolutely racist and ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I like him, but then again, it's like, are you just going to keep pulling people out of the air to be part of this band of merry men? I mean, how many freaking people do we need, you know, in this group? I don't know. I'm just, it seems very forced. All the extra people that are being brought in from the outside, it seems forced to me.
It's only been Wesley and Gunn.
Yeah. Wesley makes sense at this point, but then Gunn, but then, like, what the fuck are they trying to do with Kate? It's wait a minute. Now she's going to be changing her mind to be part of the group? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think Kate's ever going to be part of the group. I think she'll just be just sort of a fringe character, but that she's there to have some, I don't know. She's there for some sort of sexual tension between Angel and her.
Every time there isn't any.
I forgot about her. I figured that she was gone by now. Mm-hmm. You know, thinking back the last time I watched the series, I thought she was gone because I don't really remember. Other than when her father died, she didn't make any impact on me at all.
Mm. How soon you forget?
I don't know.
Wink.
I don't know. Some of my problem maybe too that it had been like forever in between watching episodes that, you know, that I lost momentum and everybody seems like a complete stranger to me. But again, it was just like how everybody reacted to everybody else just seemed so strange and different. Almost like I was watching a completely different show and I just did not enjoy any of it.
Mm.
Well, I mean, pre-Shroud, you're saying? Or just
pre-Shroud? Yeah, no, but like pre-Shroud, we all know I'm not the greatest fan of the show, but it has been growing on me. I've been liking it better. And most of my problem with the show had been that I was never a fan of Cordelia or Angel. And, you know, and it's one of these where I'm like, oh, okay, I'm starting to get it. It's getting every time we watch an episode, the writing's getting better, the plots are getting better, it's getting meatier, and then they throw this piece of shit at me, and I'm like, if I was 2013 Gabby, I would drop it like a hot potato, just like I did The Walking Dead.
You are 2013 Gabby.
but while I'm watching this show, I'm being late 90s Gabby. Because I didn't watch it the first time. But like if I was watching the show in like today's world, I would drop it like I dropped The Walking Dead.
This episode took place in 2000, actually.
Oh, fine. 2000, Gabby. Jeez.
I wonder what year Robin is less nitpicky.
Be
what
right.
Get off my soapbox now, jeez.
I found the comic relief between Cordy and Wesley, and eventually between Wesley and Kate, was lame. It didn't make me laugh in the slightest. I think this episode could have brought its A game, and all it brought me was Kern from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Next bit of feedback.
We have an email.
Woo.
Let's see. Here we go.
Okay.
This is from Zhang. Where is it?
Zhang?
Yeah, where's the message? Hold on. There we go. I've business a proposal for you.
I was like, what?
And there's another one here. And
it's a couple of trial ones, but there are a couple of voicemails for Shroud.
Bruce writes.
Oh yeah.
Hello, happy podsters. Ooh, podsters. I like that. Hold on a second. My old eyes. There we go. That's better. Oh, Command Plus, you saved my life. I was watching this episode. It's a little diversion about a heist. And that's the other thing. By the way, this is Illyrio again. I love heists.
I love heists.
And this was awful. The least elaborate heist.
Yes.
It was dumb. Anyway, so, hello, happy podsters. I was watching this episode. It's a little diversion about a heist. It's probably the third time I've seen it. Entertaining enough to earn a good 6, maybe a 7. Ooh, really, Bruce? Then there's this foreshadowing I hadn't noticed before. It comes right after the callback I hadn't noticed either. Maybe there's more here than I thought. Of course, Angel bit Kate. That is a major event for someone who has spent 100 years avoiding people and the temptation they present. It didn't hit me at first because we saw Angel drink from Buffy just 1.5 years ago in Graduation Day 2. But more recently, just last week-ish, we saw Angel in 1900. He wanted so much to fit in that he followed Darla to the other side of the world, but even then, Angel wasn't willing to bite an innocent to fit in with the Fang Gang, and he only had to bite them and drink. Killing isn't required for a vampire to feed. Now here's Kate, showing up at exactly the wrong time and forcing Angel to decide how far he's willing to go now. And he did. Or did he? Did Angel make a conscious decision to bite Kate in order to save her? Or was the Shroud clouding his judgment so much that it just seemed like a good idea to bite the blonde until he tasted the human blood and snapped out of it? Or maybe the Shroud affected his human soul like the Doximal did back in Season 1's Eternity, allowing the demon to step up and do the dirty work. Anyway, the callback is in reference to Angel's feeding off the humans, delirious with fever after being poisoned in Graduation Day, delirious with love after being doped up in Eternity, and just delirious in this episode. I guess there are ways to bring out his bad side without messing with that old curse. Applauding your patience and stick-to-itiveness, Bruce. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce.
Bruce.
Maybe he bit her and didn't like how she tasted, and it snapped him out of it. Maybe she was bitter.
Bitter?
Is that like bitter? Past tense?
Maybe she was sour.
Maybe she was the bitter.
Maybe she tasted like my dog's special dog food.
Kate, you taste like dog food.
You taste like prescription dog food, Kate.
I disagree with one part of that, and I think that in order to fit in with Darla and his group, Darla probably would have preferred that he kill people, not just drink from them for comfort or to survive or whatever. Even though it's not required, I think Darla would not have accepted any less. And what was the other thing? Oh, the heist. Gotta say, the one big thing I had a problem with was they needed Angel to go in there as a vampire to not set off the heat sensors. So they just opened the door and let him in. Like, that's not going to set off the heat sensors. That was kind of bullshit. They should have had some sort of like.
That's what I said. Least elaborate heist ever.
Yeah, but they made it seem elaborate, but it wasn't. It was just like, oh, just go in there. there's no temperature being affected at all by the door just opening.
Nope. Yep.
That's silly.
No. I don't know. So fast, it wouldn't make a difference.
I like the duct tape on the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, we have a voicemail, and then we'll do some Facebook feedback, and then we can shit on this episode some more, okay?
All right.
Yeah. All right.
Here we go. Voicemail call in two parts from Ren Mike D.
Hello, Redemption Cast. So I'm a couple minutes into the Shroud of Ramen Noodles episode.
Oh, good one.
I feel like I'm watching Hollywood Shuffle. I don't know if I can keep watching the episode. Could Gunn's cousin be any more over-the-top stereotypical? I feel like... Did Robert Townsend write this? Or a group of white guys who don't know anything about anything? It's embarrassing.
I
can't get through any more of it. I'm sorry. I can't watch this episode. All right. It may be a good episode. I got 5 minutes in. Gunn's cousin became a mockery of a stereotype of a sham, and I had to turn it off. Later, guys. Okay. I turned it back on, and right after Gunn's cousin found his activator, then Kate shows up. Click. All right, I'm done. I tried, guys. I tried to watch this episode because I haven't called in feedback in a long time or sent in feedback in a long time, but I'm out. Hollywood Shuffle-esque, no. Black people, and Kate. I'm done. I'll try again next time. All right, later, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
They're way too hard on this show. I understand it's ridiculous, but to be offended by it, come on. It's terrible writing, but it's not like they're trying to offend you.
I think he's mostly offended by Kate.
That too.
Like, Kate, click. I'm done.
Whoa.
Facebook. Who wants to read some Facebook feedback?
I will read Jimmy's. Cordy's hair. It has volume. I can hear it. Make it stop.
Awesome. Let's see. Simone says, not the best episode ever. However, I very much enjoy the interactions between Angel and Gunn and Angel and Kate.
Okay.
She said that, guys. Both characters have extreme feelings about vampires due to the loss of a loved one, and I think they both make huge steps towards not blaming Angel anymore. Not a fan of Cordy's new hairstyle. I like the setup, the whole Wes interrogation thingy. It's different. I love when Angel is acting, like with Jadon. It's totally over the top and hilarious. And Charisma was really funny when she was infected. LOL.
Wow. I think my favorite is Robin Burge with his looks like we're waiting till next week to record. Plenty of time to get in that feedback. Wow.
Hey.
That was
we're nothing if not free.
I love that Steph just liked my post.
My turn.
Yay.
Aisha Yilmaz says, and I really hope I said it right this time. I guess no one noticed that one random reaction shot of Cordelia in Guys Will Be Guys, where she had short hair. And Kate, can we just replace all her screen time with the superior blonde? No, not that one from the other show. Darla!
I agree.
Yes.
Claire says, is that an earthquake? No, it's Ramon.
GD says, I am America. You are Columbus. Discover me. Obscure reference. Continue because I can't help myself. What movie is this?
What is it?
I don't know. What is it?
It's that obscure.
All right, so Julia says, undercover Angel is awesome. Why does he not go undercover every episode? I know, right? he should be like that all the time. Gunn is so much better at it, but not as amusing to watch. And the two of them together are great. So much tension and anger. The Kate-Angel tension, on the other hand, not so great. I'm over it. Been over it pretty much since her first episode. They just need to wrap up her story quickly and send her on her way.
Now, Beth writes, but I'm sure that the date that says March 19th must have been April 1st, because she writes, the entire Shroud heist segment was incredibly entertaining.
Yeah, right?
Clearly that was an early April Fool's joke, Beth. Clearly.
Taylor, darn, she's not dead, frowny face.
Robin Hoodson, damn it, Kate, die already.
Yvette says, Cordy has been looking really good lately.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She should wear more sweaters. Grant says, oh, Kate, get over it. Your father didn't love you that much anyway.
Oh!
Someone had to say it. Well,
Jason, not a fan of Baywatch Nights, says, Angel gets about 1,000 times sexier when he stops acting like Angel. Whether yes. that's being goofy and smiling or evil and smiling, it's probably the smiling. Yeah. The middle of this episode is fun, but I like how dark and foreboding the opening and closing scene are. Oh, and Wesley, it's been like a year and a half since Angel drank from blood. Buffy, that's Slayer blood. Lockley blood ain't got nothing on that.
Dan says, I'm loving Cordy's goth look.
Ina says, Cordy's hair does not look good to me. But I enjoy Angel's undercover persona, and the dark tone of the episode, Kate brings it down as usual.
I think they teased it to make it more noticeable.
Oh boy, they teased it.
I mean, it starts out awful and it gets less terrible. Like the more flat. Mm. And straighter it gets, the less ridiculous it seems.
Yeah, that killed me. Okay, Gabby, we're the same age. When we were in school, we teased our hair. Okay? Mm. You know, back in the 80s and 90s.
In the 80s, yes, when I had heavy metal hair, yes.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Oh, heavy metal, Gabby.
Generation, yes. The
Can
younger
I see
generation.
A picture?
No.
This younger Sorry, generation. Steph. They don't tease their hair, okay? They don't put product in it. It's just straight. And these women that are our age who get their hair cut in a more up-to-date hairstyle, and then they still try to tease it like it was 1989. Stop yes. it. Stop. Just let it go straight. Just leave it alone.
If you were born with straight hair and you stay straight, if you were born with wavier curly hair, just go with it. Just go with it.
Don't defy nature.
Don't defy nature. Because what happens is you're like me and you had to get a friggin' perm, but would it take the first time? No. You had to go back 3 times, in essence, damaging the shit out of your hair just so that it will be curly when it doesn't want to be curly.
Right. Don't fight it. Just go with it.
90s Robin wants to go to a Marilyn Manson concert with Heavy Metal Gabby.
Heavy Metal Gabby went to a Nine Inch Nails show and some bitch put gum in her hair and had to cut it.
You had to cut the bitch?
I was cut that bitch. No, I was at the floor moshing at a Nine Inch Nails show.
And some bitch earlier on Twitter, you said you're going to cut a bitch for some lobster macaroni and cheese. I want to put it past you for gum. I mean,
I would have. I would.
Dylan
have.
Says, yes. Did we just see a little bit of Angelus leaking through?
Ew. No,
Steph says bump.
Bump. Bob finishes it off with unfair. They tease us with Kate being either dead or a vampire, either of which would have been a big improvement. I also liked Kimberly in her commentary liking Angel except when he is Angel. It makes you wonder how Herb Saunders' private investigator would have done. That would have been cool. I would have liked that. I'm going to like Bob's post right in there. There you go.
season 4 is season Herb. Spoilers.
Ooh. Thanks for the feedback, everyone.
Yes. Awesome.
I really enjoy reading and listening to what you guys have to say every time we record an episode. I'm all out of horrible things to say about this episode. So you if you guys have more points, say? Let's do it. If not, let's rate this thing and get out of here. Anyone?
Well, I know I'm going to end up being like the big defender of this after everybody shits on it. So maybe I'll just get the defending out of the way first. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good episode. I mean, it's definitely very season one-y, but it's still like probably would be a really good season one episode. I love the Angel being Jadon. I loved just the arguing and just getting to the root of the whole argument with, you know, Angel and Gunn, where it's like, you know, Gunn still has that resentment against Angel and it's coming out. I like how the Shroud just kind of brings out this craziness in people. I love episodes where, you know, our normal characters get a dose of the wacky. So I did enjoy Wesley and Cordy bumbling around in the museum. I did enjoy fast talking Angel, and, you know, Gunn gets a little irritating at times, but I still, you know, enjoy him. And, you know, Tony Todd, W. Earl Brown, good guest stars, really good guest stars. So I'm giving this 8 out of 10 Candymen.
What?
Wow, that general.
Okay, let me continue. A heist, it's always a good thing. Non-linear, it's always good. And then that twist at the end where we thought that he had drank Kate and turned evil, and he hadn't. It was all part of the plan to save her. Gunn is... It should have built his annoyance with... And it did. It did build until it came to a climax, and that was entertaining, but... I give it 8 out of 10 extroverts what? From out of town.
What? Wow.
All right. I have to say, I was willing to ignore the inconsistency of, is this a flashback, is it not? I was willing to ignore how annoying Cordy's hair was. I was willing to ignore how awfully torturous and annoying the arguing was between Gunn and Angel. I was willing to forego the whole stupid, unnecessarily made to seem complicated, overly simple heist thing, because with a few moments left in this episode, I was still convinced that Kate was dead and this was going to be an 8 or 9 out of 10 episode for me. But she didn't die. She didn't. And frankly, the episode was a colossal waste of time. I understand that now she is on Angel's side, but she's an idiot who was blaming Angel for something he tried to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I don't care much for her at all. So I'm going to give this episode 4 out of 10. Hey, everybody, Shroud's Raymond. Deborah.
We're the first episodes of the series, according to Illyrio. Interesting.
Mine's going to be quick. I'll just get out of the way. Two redeeming qualities of this episode. Both include Wesley. Wesley acting like 90s Robin when he's under the influence of the Shroud. Sad. And Wesley in sweatpants. That's it.
I'm wearing sweatpants.
Hey! Would 90s Robin wear sweatpants while under the influence of the Shroud? Yes.
Fuck yeah.
I give it 1 out of 10. Posturing rogue demon hunters.
Oh, I am shocked you gave it such a high score.
What? It was Wesley's pants and acting like he was high.
All right.
That's Gabby's 4th one.
Kimberly, no. Bring us home.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of pretty much right in the middle between everybody, because I I don't like it, but I didn't hate it. I would say it was more towards the dislike. Okay, so I liked that we thought Kate was done. So I was ready to give it an 8, like Illyrio said. Then, when she didn't, I was like, oh, this is getting a 1. Because there's so many times where these shows, they go one way and then they go the next. And it's just annoying. Because it's like, okay, we get it. You want us to stay on our toes. But anyways. So, I'm glad that Kate's finally on, to me, I'm glad that she's sort of opened her eyes and not being so judgmental towards Angel and what he's trying to do in, I guess, in LA and all that stuff. I don't know. Like, I've since day one, I've been turned off by how Gunn has been portrayed. Again, not his fault. I understand why the writers do it, but at the same time, just like it's been done so many times on other shows that it's just you know.
Yeah.
And it's just annoying in that sense. Even like the casual viewer of television knows that. Why are they making this guy out to be so ridiculous? Like, you know what I mean? So I just, every time I see that, it's in the back of my head, and it's just like, oh, God, we have to do it this again. Anyways, so I won't get into all of that. We went into that earlier in the episode. Basically, I'm sort of in the middle between you guys. I don't have such hate for it, but at the same time, I'm not over the moon over it. I'm going to give it about 6 out of 10. 6 out of 10, really bad haircuts.
All right, lowest episode of season 2 with a 5.4.
Wow.
Damn.
And I must again stress, Gunn is developing.
Yeah.
Gunn is developing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like a Polaroid picture.
he will be a butterfly sooner.
We thought this. And you can tell us what you think. You can send us an email at
redemptioncast@gmail.com.
And you can call us at
260-26-SCARG. That's 260-267-5274. But we do love those MP3 files you send us.
Really. And the M4A files as well.
Oh, yeah.
You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/RedemptionCast. You can join the Facebook group. That would be facebook.com/group/potentialcast. And you can check out our website, redemptioncast.blogspot.com, where we release the show. And very soon, hopefully, I'll have season 1 archived, and you can download that in that way.
Thank you.
Now, it's quote time. And I only wrote one down, so I'm going to let someone else go first.
What? You met Chow Young Fat?
I got one.
I think you went faster, but go
ahead. My teeth are so big. pleasant.
That was amazing.
And what am I supposed to do? Sit at home and knit? I could use a sweater. Something dark.
You don't tell him what to do. He's the boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with purity. This is all about dominance, buddy. You can bet that if someone ordered a male body part for religious sacrifice, the world would be atheist.
I love that quote.
Like that.
I got a second one. Wow, look at you rushing in here all by yourself. You're the best cop ever.
I did like that. It would have been so good if she was dead. Right. Are we done?
I think she's going to redeem herself. I think we're going to end up liking her toward her end of the show, whenever that may be.
All right.
Season 6.
Man. Really? That long? Oh, damn it. Yeah.
Well, it only went for 5 seasons, right?
Yes, 5 seasons.
Oh, right.
What's on the slate for next time, Robin?
Oh boy. Season 2, episode 9, The Trial.
Trial. Sounds promising.
Do you wonder what that's about?
Wapner.
Bom, bom. I can't wait to find out.
Bom, 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 bom. Bom, bom, bom. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, and I'll try harder next time.
Yeah, we all will.
Thank goodness.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Namaste. Later,
bitches.
This is dedicated to Kate.
Da, 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 my darling, just shut your pretty eyes. I've been seeing you again. Yeah, I've been seeing you in hell. So don't cry to me, oh baby, your future's in and out.
Us all to do very well tonight, but let's not anybody break your leg in two places, okay? All right.
Huh?
Macbeth.
No. Right. You know, that basketball player.
He went up for a block. Oh, that was so nasty. Did you guys see that?
And then he landed and his leg snapped in two places.
I see that.
I mean, I've seen dangling legs, but this leg was dangling in two places.
That's some March sadness.
Let me tell you. Yeah, it was so bad that everyone else was consoling each other instead of him.
Oh,
that's how bad it was.
Did they have to bring in like counselors for everybody before they left the stadium?
Like immediately, I think.
It was
it was gross and slightly. I couldn't stop looking. Like I couldn't look away when I first saw it. Well, don't forget, I was a fan of the Montreal Expos. That was a baseball team we had. And we had a lovely young gentleman called Moises Alou, who was just running at a regular speed and had his lower leg on his right leg just snap in half. Yeah. No. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
No. Nope.
Yeah. Okay.
So I hope we're all in the right mood. Yeah. To talk about this awful piece of crap.
Yeah. Oh, it's so bad.
Wow, I can't believe you guys thought it was that bad.
Well, I'll be honest, Robin. I'd rather talk about dangling compound fractures.
Under the outdoor with the steamboats, ancient goblins and
innocent. The smell of death is all around. And at night when the cold wind blows, no one cares, nobody knows. I don't want to be buried in a pet cemetery. I don't want to live my life again. I don't want to be buried in a pet cemetery. I don't want to live my life again. Fall addicted to the sacred place. This ain't a dream, I can't escape. Molders and fangs that are picking up bones. Spirits moaning among the tombstones. And at night when the moon is bright, someone cries something ain't right. I don't want to be buried in a pet cemetery. I don't want to live my life again. Be buried in a pet cemetery. I don't want to live my life again. The moon is full, the air is still. Sudden, I feel a chill. Victor is grinning, flesh is rotting away. Skeleton dance, I curse these days. And at night when the wolves cry out, listen close and you can hear me shout. I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery.